This is Stateside. I'm April Bear. That creak in the middle of the night, that sudden strange cold spot in a room, or a sensation that causes the hairs on your neck and arms to stand at attention? What is it about the spooky unknown? So hard to describe, yet so universally relatable, that draws us in. Our next guest is, shall we say, passionately paranormal, and we're hoping he can shed some light on this. Todd Bonner is the co-founder of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. Todd, welcome to Stateside.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I know you're probably extremely busy this time of year, too, so we appreciate it.
You know what? This year and this week especially gets really busy, but we're kind of busy all year round. But with the COVID, it's kind of slowed us down somewhat, but we still stay busy. We do a lot of presentations and lectures and stuff like that, kind of inform people on what exactly happens when we do a paranormal investigation.
Well, how does one get into this field in the first place? Did you have a personal experience?
Me personally, it's kind of a weird story. I have had a few near-death experiences, three to be exact. And I had my first, I guess, paranormal experience at Eloise Psychiatric Hospital in Westland, Michigan, when I was around 16. So it was late 80s, like 89, 88. I heard a disembodied voice basically told me to get out. It was a male voice, but I knew at that point it wasn't someone there with me. It was something else. But back then you couldn't really talk about it openly. Like now we're talking about paranormal stuff on your show. Back in those days, it wasn't mainstream. It wasn't on TV. And I grew up, my father was a police officer. And I grew up in a police officer's household. I went to Catholic schools, so it was kind of taboo to talk about that stuff or come out with it, I guess.
Right.
So when I got older, it was around 10 years ago, I decided to join a team.
Todd, I'm sorry to interrupt, but could you sort of take us back to like the circumstances under which you were on site there when you heard this?
Sure. Back in those days, we used to park across the street. It's on Michigan Avenue. And now there's only a few buildings left at Eloise. Back in those days, there was probably 40 buildings left, very large buildings. And it was kind of fun to urban explore in high school. So we'd freak ourselves out. So the girl I was dating at the time and I went with a group of people. We went down in the basement of this large, it had to be over 200,000 square feet building. So we kind of broke off from the other group. And there was old files and medical records. It's kind of cool just to go through there, but it was scary at the same time. So we're, you know, a little on edge. And we both heard a voice saying, get out, you need to leave. So to me, I didn't want to scare the girl I was with too much. I said, oh, it's probably those guys playing a joke on us, other people we were with. And so we kind of searched around, but I knew inside of me that that was not someone that was alive. It sounded like a person, but it just sounded different. And when I got into the paranormal more like I do now, I can kind of differentiate between the two sounds and make them out better. But we found the other people on the fourth floor at the back of the building. So there was no one in the area we were at. There was no one even close to us. So I kind of just wrote it off to her, but it always stuck with me. And I always had an interest in it. I kind of went on with my life and always looked at paranormal stuff and watched the movies and stuff that would come out until I got a little bit older. And that's when I finally decided to come out of the paranormal closet and join a team. And I really didn't care what people thought about me at that point. I just wanted, I had a passion for it. I love it. And I think like the near-death experiences I had and that first paranormal experience kind of pushed me to where I am today.
Yeah. Well, how old were you and what was going on in your life when you started going out on expeditions and treating this like research?
Well, it was about 10 years ago. So I had an opportunity to join a team. It was a friend of a friend. Knew I had an interest in it. They had an opening on their team. And I joined the team and I met Jeff Atkins, who was the co-founder of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. So we were on that team together and we kind of learned and grew, but we want to do more. We want to travel more. We want to investigate more. We want to do more research. The historical side, we really love a lot of historical preservation. So we just had an idea of what we became with Detroit Paranormal Expeditions to actually, we work with a lot of charities too. We've donated to Ronald McDonald House of Detroit, Gleaners. So we use the paranormal, which we love to do, but we also use it to help people that necessarily aren't into the paranormal. They don't know that money is coming to them, but it's kind of been a great journey for us. It's been fun and we're able to help a lot of different people out and go to a lot of amazing places too.
What equipment do you bring along when you're going out on an investigation?
We have a lot of stuff that you see on TV, digital recorders, K2 detectors that pick up electromagnetic fields. The theory is energies or spirits can give off energy and it'll make these detectors go off. We use full spectrum cameras And what we're kind of known for are ghost boxes or spirit boxes. And that's kind of the main thing that we use a lot of the times. It's kind of hard to explain, but we have some boxes that are made from, they look like old antique radios. And actually we have an antique radio that's been converted to a ghost box. What it does is we think that a lot of these places have energy retained in their walls even. So we've gathered wood from Eloise and a couple other places. And a friend of ours actually builds these boxes out of wood from haunted locations. I don't know exactly what internals they put in. They put an amp in there, different speakers and echo systems. And we use a hacked radio. So these radios don't stop scanning. They just continuously scan radio stations. It usually scans 100 radio stations per minute. And you only get a fraction of the radio station. And a lot of times when we try to communicate or ask questions, we'll get full sentences, we'll get full words, we get answers to our questions. And again, the theory, this is not a science, it's more of a pseudoscience, is that energies can manipulate radio frequencies or white noise to communicate.
So I have to ask you, I've been at home alone and heard voices that really, really gave me a scare. And realized that my stereo receiver was powered up, but not tuned in. Mm-hmm. But basically, you know, a radio frequency was sort of appearing unannounced because of the radio equipment. How do you differentiate between what comes across normal radio signals and the kind of voices that you're looking for from another world?
Well, we're used to this. So we tune our hearing into it. But you can kind of tell if it's a radio station or if you ask a direct question, you get an answer back through the ghost box. We were at the Sixth Precinct last night and we were getting like words like police officer and Detroit, Sixth Precinct. Like it was telling us where we're at. And we said, can you see how many people are in this room? It would give us a number. And sometimes they actually say swear words. The other night it said F you to me. So those aren't on, we scan 80 AM radio stations and you know those kind of words would not be on AM radio or any radio station, actually.
Right. So some folks may be unfamiliar with the acronym EVP. Can you explain what that means?
Sure. That's electronic voice phenomenon. We've captured a lot of EVPs using a digital recorder. We use Sony digital recorders, and you can buy those at Best Buy, Walmart, or anything like that. It's pretty basic. They're around $50-$60. And what happens a lot of times is that you'll have an EVP session, which we call it. We'll ask a series of questions. And in the moment, you don't hear anything at all responding to your questions. Or just things will just talk to you, but we don't hear them. So when we go review our evidence and review this audio, a lot of times voices will be captured on the digital recorder. So those are considered EVPs. And those are the ones we don't hear in the moment. And there's been a few times where we have heard voices and words. The Whitney sticks out to me. We heard a woman humming and three or four of us heard it. There's no one else in the room at the Whitney and the Carriage House in downtown Detroit. Mm. Those are rare, but the most of, you know, most paranormal groups or teams, even the TV shows, capture those on digital recorder, the voices.
What's the most intense audio that you've ever recorded?
One happened that I think is probably, it freaked me out the most, I guess, was on Beaver Island at the North Lighthouse. The innkeeper's house is pretty big there. It's attached to like a breezeway, then it attaches itself to the actual lighthouse. Well, the house itself was locked. We had went there to investigate the historical society, and people on the island said, you got to go check the lighthouse out. It's haunted. There's all these rumors. So we drove over there. It's like a 20-minute drive out in the outskirts of the island. There's nothing around there. We had our psychic with us, Brandy Miller, and she had said she felt a woman on the front porch. I know this all sounds crazy, but this is, it blows me away still, telling us to go, you need to leave. So Jeff and I, as the paranormal investigators we are, said, we're going to try and go in this place. So when we went there, you can actually get into the breezeway. There's a guest book you can sign and you can actually go up in the lighthouse itself. So we kept hearing stuff on the house side where the door was locked, things moving. So I took out a digital recorder, we had our Sony, and we started asking questions. And you could hear Jeff saying, what if I, you know, can you shake this door handle for me? And I joke, what if you did that and the door just opened? Well, right when I said that, there's a voice that sounds like something from The Exorcist. The first part says shipwreck. And then to me, it says, I told you to go. And we did not hear that in the moment. We were staying at on the Central Michigan campus. They have a biological campus there. And they let us stay with them for the weekend that we were there. So we went back and we were staying in the cabins. And I started just listening to these. So I put my headphones on, started listening to the audio back.
You can't shake this door handle for me like this. Can you do that?
What if you did that and the door just opened and it wasn't locked anymore?
You should be like, I told you to go.
And I threw my headphones off because it freaked me out so bad. I've never heard anything like that. And it's louder than our voices, and yet we did not hear it in the moment.
Wow. When you go out with the team, would you be more likely to try to visit places that are well known to have stories, places that people talk about as the haunted places in Michigan? Or do you prefer to go places that are less well explored?
It seems for us, and we've been very lucky and fortunate to get in places that have never been had paranormal investigations before. And to me and the rest of our group, it seems like those places are more active. And the only reason I can think why is because we're actually trying to communicate with whatever's there. And that could be the first time that either us or them have had an opportunity to talk finally. So we find that places that, and I'm not saying that places that aren't, you know, investigated all the time, the big well-known ones, aren't active also, but it just seems to us in our experience that the first time ever investigated places seem really, really active. We were the first group to ever investigate Eloise Psychiatric Hospital back in 2018. And that was a really active investigation. And we've done the Sixth Precinct is another one we do downtown Detroit. And we're the first ones there. And it was really, really active. It's still active, but it seemed like the first night we were there, it just had so much activity. But that's just with our experience. You know, other groups and teams have different experiences that way. And it doesn't have to be well known either. We do a lot of historical societies and small houses. There's a farmhouse in Taylor called the Norris Farm. It's not well known at all. And we've investigated it. First time ever there, first time ever investigated. And we got crazy activity. So we just try to find places like that and research the history and find out what's been going on there and talk to people. And that's how we go about our business usually.
You know, I am not saying that this is not interesting work, but what do you enjoy about it? I mean, most of us, the experience of getting a scare like that is something that we gravitate away from rather than toward.
I know, it seems weird. It seems really weird, and I guess I'm considered a weirdo. I'm actually normal. I have a normal life. I have kids and everything else outside of this. It's so hard for me to explain. It seems like it's a thrill seeker almost, like people that, you know, do rock climbing or roller coasters or skydiving. I guess they get that same kind of feeling. It's a rush sometimes when things happen, and it's fun. It's so much fun, and the people I've gotten to meet in the history. I wasn't into history in grade school and high school and college, but as I got older, I really love history and uncovering some history in Michigan, especially. There's things that happen in Michigan I didn't even know about until we research these places we go to. And historical preservation, I hate to see these buildings knocked down and you know, put new neighborhoods in. I'm like, hopefully a lot of these can get preserved. And we try to work with groups to preserve historical locations. But it's a rush. You know, that's the main thing. And it's fun. And I can't get enough of it. It keeps making me go back for more to see what's going to happen next. You know what I mean?
Have you and Jeff, your colleague, Jeff Adkins, have you come up with any theories about the voices or the feelings that you have tracked over the years?
We have different opinions on that. And I can't really say, and you get some people that are religious saying it's demons, and we've never met anything demonic or anything close to that. I think that it's people that passed on and for some reason their energy lingered. Not everybody stays for some reason, and I can't figure that out, but some of their energy lingers and we're able to communicate. There's theories that people say it's a parallel universe, it's aliens. I mean, you get all kinds of crazy reasons of what those voices are. And I can't for sure say they're ghosts because that's, you know, like a pseudoscience, no scientific evidence. And we're using equipment that other paranormal people build. There's no store like Walmart or Best Buy that you can go into and buy paranormal equipment. So we're relying on other people to build these pieces of equipment that we use. Me personally, I think it's we're communicating with people. And I have no idea why they still linger. Why? I mean, it could be everyone's still around. Just some people have enough energy to speak to us and communicate. We find even last night, Brandy, she's a tremendous psychic. And I don't know how all psychics work. It's fascinating to me, but she connected with someone's mother last night, total strangers. She never met these people before. We were at the Sixth Precinct And the woman actually started to cry because Brandy was talking about so much personal information that she would never know. So I think a lot of times those energies or spirits that try to communicate, they're trying to let their loved ones know that they're okay. Some people grieve a lot longer than others, you know, to hold on to that. You know, after people die, they're so close to them, they just want to know they're okay. And I think sometimes those voices that we get are just letting their loved ones know they're okay or trying to get a message across.
Todd Bonner is the co-founder of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions. Todd, it's great talking to you. Thanks for taking a couple minutes to speak with us.
Thank you, too, and happy Halloween. Have a good weekend.